Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We have my co-anchor, Kevin Holmes.
What's up, Kalen? How about those
Chiefs?
You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs.
We don't just cover our community. We get right involved in it. Our anchors, they love getting out into the community and connecting with people just like you. Today, that looked like this. One of our own stepping up to the baseball diamond. That's Kevin Holmes throwing out the first pitch at the Kansas City Monarchs game.
Hey, I'm joined by somebody you guys know very well, Rex Hudler, former MLB player, color commentator for your Royals. How exciting was this, my brother?
We are having fun celebrating with the people, because everything we do, Kevin, is for the people.
City of champions on your station of champions. I'm joined now by a two-time Super Bowl champion himself and Chiefs great linebacker. The brother looked like he can still play to this day.
I don't know Neil about Smith. All that.
What's up, good brother?
The show is now beginning.
Hey, I'm going to hold you to it, brother. I remember you promised me you're going to give me some golf lessons.
I got you, brother. I got you. You're going to do this thing.
Kevin is a six-time Emmy-winning news anchor for KSHB. Please join us in welcoming Kevin Holmes. Tonight's Buck O'Neill Legacy Seat Honoree.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the score.
If it has to do with the Kansas City Chiefs, I have to reach out to my cuzzo, and we have to talk about the Chiefs.
You got a lot of cousins out there. The Detroit Lions general manager Brad Holmes is a, quote, cousin, unquote. Former heavyweight champ Lawrence or Larry Holmes.
No relation.
No. Okay.
No.
How about this one? How about this Holmes right here?
Yeah, that's my cousin.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, introduce me.
This guy. Kevin Holmes. What's up, cuzzo? This is my partner, Matt Spiegel. He's a problem.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
What's up? What's up, Matt? What's up, cousin? Long time no talk.
So,
good to hear from you.
So how does it work at the family cookouts? Does Lawrence bring something? Does he just bring plates? You know, what does he do?
I bring cash.
We put him on cash and napkin duty. We don't trust his cooking skills just yet.
That is fair. That is absolutely fair.
Oh, man, yeah. I've never eaten anything that you've cooked, now that I think about it, but I would trust you to get napkins and plates and all that
stuff. Yeah, and put money in the fund. That's what I am here for. Hey, revolutions have to be funded as well. So look, we've been having some conversations about your Kansas City Chiefs. Before we get to the messy stuff of people hating on them, I want to know, from your perspective, watching them pull out these one-score wins all season long, what's it been like?
I mean, heart palpitations every single Sunday, pretty much every single day, because they play just about every day this week except for on a Tuesday. But it is crazy. And when you look at it, it seems like they're overpowered, overmatched just about every single game. But they have the it factor. They have the intangible. That's number 15, Patrick Mahomes. You know, growing up in Chicago, it's almost like watching the Jordan era relive, just manifesting itself in the way of football, man. They're always in the game every single way, every single game, every single minute if they have 15 under center. And it's like surreal to see.
You know, we made that comp last week and had, or earlier this week, and had some fun conversation. Let's get specific on it with a man who knows. Is this version of game manager Pat Mahomes kind of like the aging Jordan with the turnaround jumper when he couldn't be a high flyer for whatever reason? Like, he's just adjusting and doing whatever he has to do to bring home a win?
He is. He is. I mean, look at it. He has a makeshift receiving core most of the year. Hollywood Brown was out a lot of the year. He doesn't have Tyreek. Kelce is aging. The O-line, you know, there have been kind of some shakiness right there, especially when you look at the right tackle. There was a lot of penalties when it comes to Juwan Taylor, and a kind of mismatch, a hodgepodge when it comes to some of the injuries. And this brother still makes it work. Isaiah Pacheco was out a little bit of the year. You didn't know what you were going to get with Kareem Hunt. No one thought this team would be here. I mean, it's hard enough to make it to three straight Super Bowls, let alone, you know, be in the hunt for a three-peat. So this is tough, man. And everyone wondered, could Mahomes do this again? And he we shouldn't be here. A lot of people think the Chiefs shouldn't be here. I would venture to say a lot of people in Kansas City are still shocked that we're even in this position. I mean, 7 straight AFC championship appearances? This is surreal.
Yeah, all you do is hang out at parades. That's it. Like, you're just at parades all the time. And as someone who, you know, you had the feel here of the Jordan parades, and then you walk into Kansas City when Patrick Mahomes shows up. That seems very fortuitous for you.
Bruh, I mean, look at it like this, man. Wherever I go, that's where the winning goes. You know, that's all I'm going to say. In my career, I've covered a lot. I've covered some Final Fours. You know, I was in Memphis when Derrick Rose was there. Mm. So, you know, you're welcome for that. You know, I covered something in Raleigh when I covered UNC and Duke. And now I'm here in Kansas City, you know. So, hey, maybe I'm the winning piece, the winning ingredient. So, Patrick, you're welcome.
So move back soon, please, Kevin. Hey. See if we can arrange that. Go ahead.
I watch my Bears from Kansas City, and I throw things at the television all the time. Trust me.
You brought it to Lawrence. Mentioned the parade. I just saw this on your Twitter feed, Kevin. Just to get serious for a minute, it's going to be a different kind of celebration if the Chiefs win. There's going to be no public celebration at all after obviously what happened tragically last time. It's an interesting development. It's got to be scary stuff.
Yeah. Right now, we don't know exactly what it will look like. We do know there will be a parade. So there will be a parade. The parade route is going to look very similar to what it will be. Instead of going from kind of south to north, I think it's going to go north to south in Kansas City. But there won't be a rally that followed like there has been in years past. That's where the unfortunate shooting happened, where several people were hurt, and one woman, beloved radio DJ in Kansas City, lost her life. So we don't know what's going to happen afterwards, if there'll be a private thing. You know, there have been some ideas tossed around where there may be a ticketed event at Arrowhead or a ticketed event at Union Station or elsewhere. So don't know, but it won't look like it has in years past, and that's kind of unfortunate. But you certainly understand safety is definitely top of mind.
You were in the middle of that. And you know, I reached out. I was worried. And you were like, hey, I'm good. The most important thing is the city. And so when you're going through that, as it's supposed to be complete celebratory situation, and then it turns into an active scene, and then it becomes a major news story, what was that like for you to deal with it in real time?
So many emotions in just a matter of minutes. I remember we were we were swag surfing, literally, and, you know, in front of Union Station with the Chiefs. And seconds later, we heard what we thought were literally like fireworks at first. And we realized there were shots, and we saw the SWAT team and the officers kind of run and told us to take cover. A wide range of emotions. You know, I had some people who were right by me. We all took cover. And I mean, they were visibly shaken and crying, not knowing what was going to come next. And there was a lot of uncertainty there. And then when we later learned that someone lost their life, there was a huge cloud of sadness that kind of overtook our news team and our entire city. And yeah, as well as the Chiefs organization. It was really a dark time and a dark week that really followed, man, which it was like the highest of times for the entire Kansas City area and the lowest of times for the entire Kansas City area, all in the same day, man. It's very hard. It's probably the best way to describe it right there.
We are talking with Kevin Holmes right here on 670 The Score, the anchor and reporter for KSHB-TV in Kansas City, and Lawrence's pretend cousin, I think, unless I get corrected.
Play cousin, man. Play cousin. Get it right.
I'm sorry.
Get it right.
I'm sorry.
We all family.
I was not invited to the family gathering.
And after this interview, nor shall you be.
Okay. I had a good run. I had a good run, Kevin. You and I were tight for at least 11 minutes. I really...
Hey, we'll invite you to the next cookout.
Oh, thanks, man.
I'll get you in as good graces.
I appreciate that. Hey, can we have that guard? Can we have Trey Smith? You guys don't need him. Maybe can't even afford him. Can the Bears have him? I guess that's your team, you know? So what do we got to do to get that done?
Hey, first of all, I always say it like this, and I think Kansas Cityans, you know, they know me well enough. I've been there for 8 years now, so they realize my top three teams in this order are the Bears, the Chiefs, and whoever plays Green Bay, in that order. So, you know, as long as Trey Smith stays in Chicago or Kansas City, I'm fine.
Do you think that they'll want to restructure some deals and try to get him back, or are they out of restructuring opportunities to allow him to get back and pay some of the other young guys?
You know, it's hard to say with Brett Veach. You know, just when you think he's on the cusp of losing some of this talent, he finds a way to make it happen. So anything is possible with general manager Brett Veach. I mean, he the way he does his magic with the math, there's no telling. I wouldn't be surprised either way if Trey Smith leaves or stays. But it's kind of hard to keep him and Creed Humphrey and some of the core of that O-line and you know, that offense intact.
Yeah, the NFL salary cap is crazy. Like, there, you can find ways in the NFL, and people often do.
The New Orleans Saints have been under the cap, I mean, over the cap for like 5 years, yeah. And they keep signing people.
Yeah, they have trouble every year, and they keep finding a way. All right, Kevin, you mentioned the Bulls, and you grew up here. Do you at all understand the nationwide exhaustion, if not hate, for the Kansas City Chiefs? And does it feel at all to you similar to what you might have noticed nationally, if you did, especially during the second three-peat for the Jordan Bulls?
Of course. Of course. You know, you are the hero, and if you're the hero long enough, you turn into villain. We saw that with the Patriots. That happened with the Bulls. Everyone would see the Bulls get knocked off, especially by the Jazz, and we're living it in Kansas City. I think most of the nation really wants neither team to win, because a lot of people hate the Philadelphia fan base too. I mean, they booed Santa Claus, for Christ's sake. If this game could end with a tie, I think most of the country outside of Philadelphia and Kansas City would want that to happen. So I certainly understand you get tired of seeing the same couple of teams going, and you get tired of seeing Kansas City win. A lot of folks think there's the fix. The fix is in because Kansas City wins in some of these miraculous ways, and I certainly understand that. But Kansas Cityans love it. I mean, Kansas Cityans are quick to point out the days of Brody Croyle, the days of Elvis Gerback, Rich Gannon, Matt Castle, when Romeo Crennel, that head coach, when they were like 2-14, 3-13, when they couldn't fill the stands there. They couldn't, you know, get a first down. They couldn't get 50 total yards of offense. So they are really, you know, soaking this in because they know it won't last forever, just like the Bulls dynasty didn't last forever.
What, if anything, should Kansas City be worried about in facing Philly?
That defensive front, putting the pressure on Patrick Mahomes. I think the O-line is good, but I'm not sure they've seen a rush like this. And I think they may get some different looks. And I think that may kind of shake things up.
Yeah,
that'll be the biggest obstacle, I think.
Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, like those two guys in the middle of that defensive line. And not that Patrick can't step around, like he's good at getting outside the pocket, but if you can get pressure up the middle at a quarterback, that's ideal.
Here's the deal. Mahomes looks slow, but that brother can scramble. That brother can run. In fact, I saw a stat earlier. The brother has more yards overall in the Super Bowl than any other quarterback. I mean, he's been there, what, 6 times now?
Yeah.
But
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's easy. All he's got to get is 1 yard every time he goes, and he can lead. He can lead all quarterbacks in rushing yards. I don't know if you know this, Kevin, but we have a very special situation up here where you have the good fortune of having Patrick as a quarterback. We have him as just kind of an assistant producer. He's in the booth right now. And Patrick, just talk to Kevin, who I'm sure you've met. I'm sure you go far back with Kevin. He's a TV guy in Kansas City, for God's sakes. But do you like it up here better, or do you like it down there better, Patrick?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin, I always appreciate your questions in the locker room. I think you put a lot of thought into it, and I think you do a really good job. Some other guys, not so much. And I'm kind of tired of how like much Nick Wright involves himself in the KC Chiefs culture when he's really a New York guy now. But you've always been good. But I'm not going to lie to you, Kevin. I like it up here a lot more. And that's why I leave every day after you see me in the locker room and I join this show in the afternoon.
Thoughts, Kevin?
I'm not surprised, Patrick. I'm not surprised. That's why I see you jet out the locker room so quickly. It makes sense now, brother.
Is there anything that you've always wanted to ask me one-on-one that maybe you haven't been able to when the KC media is assembled together?
Your thoughts on Taylor Swift?
Tay-Tay's lovely. We love her in this house, and I don't really like that she's bringing a lot of negative attention to Britney just because she likes Trump, and the Swifties are kind of coming after Britney because of that. It's not her fault, but no, Taylor's been great to our family and the fan base.
All right,
this show is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is,
and it's great at the same time. When are you getting down to New Orleans?
Well, we're actually driving from Kansas City, and we are hitting the road Sunday afternoon, and we're going to start reporting our 5 o'clock newscast Monday. In fact, we have a crew that's going to make – so we have about 4 crews that are making the trip. We have a crew that's going to stop in Houston, Mississippi, and file a few reports there. Houston, Mississippi, of course, the hometown of Chris Jones. And we have a crew that's going to make a stop, Patrick, in your hometown of White Station, Texas. Yep. We're going to file a few reports there.
If you need any restaurant recommendations, let me know. I'll let you know where you can get your best well-done steak and ketchup.
Waffle House, I'm sure.
This is what it is. This is how many times they've been to the Super Bowl. They're going to Chris Jones' hometown on the way just to, like, get some different kind of angle. It's a great angle.
It's a great angle.
It's a great angle, but that's a 5 Super Bowls in 6 years kind of angle. Isn't it, Kevin? You can admit that.
It truly is, man. It truly is. And just to show you how unorthodox this team is in terms of how they win, you go back to that divisional game against Houston, man. Houston had, like, 125 yards total more than Kansas City did, and they didn't turn the ball over. And I saw a stat that said whenever that happens, when a team has 100-plus more yards and doesn't turn the ball over in the playoffs, those teams are 46-0 against their opponents. Now they're 46-1. Kansas City finds ways to win that no other team does. So you can never count them out, man, which is why anything is possible come Super Bowl Sunday.
Go have Eagles. Safe travels and have a great time down in NOLA. And thanks so much, man. We appreciate you picking up the phone and continued success and keep doing what you're doing, cuz we out here.
Absolute pleasure. Hey, hopefully once the Chiefs dynasty ends, the Bears dynasty begins.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, it's not ending, Kevin.
It's never ending. Patrick's only...
He's 29.
29 years old, man.
He's only 29.
He's still got the energy to go from the locker room to the radio booth.
But yes, it would be great if at the end of this, the emergence of Caleb Williams started. That would be outstanding.
No, because when I'm done, Jackson's coming in, and he's going to be really good.
No, Jackson. No, we know the Jackson.
Only if football games are played on TikTok.
It's the truth. It's the truth. Kevin, thanks for this, man. Appreciate you.
Hey. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, bye. Man.
It's Kevin Holmes.
Nice to meet your play cousin.
My cousin.
Mm-hmm. And let's get Brad. Maybe Kevin's tighter with Brad.
I mean,
can you get him?
If I had that type of juice, we would have gotten Brad a long time ago.
Well, give it a shot.
If I was actually cousins with Brad Holmes, we would have gotten him a long time ago.
Seriously, talking about Ben Johnson, talking about everything that's gone on, team building.
How to build a championship-worthy team.
All right, Lions general manager Brad Holmes. Shane, if you could, try to reach out to Lions general manager Brad Holmes and tell him that his play cousin, Lawrence.
Tell him his actual cousin.
Either way.
It's possible.
But he might laugh at the idea of the play cousin and say yes. You never know.
Yeah, I just did. He said he wasn't interested.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I just did it really quick in that moment.
It's a good dream while we had it.
It was fun. Good idea, Speaks.
Thanks, man.
I put it in the Slack.
Here's another thing. I've had Bears thoughts. I've had Bears offseason thoughts that I've been dying to break free. And you people are holding me back.
What do you mean by you people?
I'm going on day 3.
Oh, okay.
Of Shane and Tenny, not you.
Because me and my cousin, I thought maybe that's what you were trying to say.
This is dangerous territory.
You're the one who likes to take us there. No,
but you can go an extra mile. You can protect me. You can keep me safe from the dogs.
I'm out of that business.
That's why, yeah, that makes sense.
I was doing that for a long time.
That's why Agrest wrote what he wrote. I've got some Bears thoughts on the offseason that yearn to breathe free, and they will next segment on 670 The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Pat Tomasulo.
Well, look, I've had a good run.
You're the oldest. We could eliminate you. Tribute of Service would go on. They'd find somebody else.
Hey, wait a minute.
Afternoons on The Score.
No, no, that was awesome. I actually thought I was talking to Patrick.
I think Kevin had a good time with Patrick.
I think you did too. That voice was Pat Mahomes Sr., who really enjoyed the Pat Mahomes. Enjoyed Pat. I'm sorry. Whew. I almost broke a fourth wall there. That would have been bad. Lawrence, you got to recommend some comic books for me to give to the boy. I'll ask you because I just said fourth wall. I thought of Grant Morrison's Animal Man.
Yeah.
Where he famously breaks the fourth wall.
That's all Deadpool is a breaking of the fourth
wall. And he adores Deadpool.
And in the comic book, it's probably even funnier.
It is.
But
yeah.
But speaking of, you gave a recommendation. Let me give you a recommendation.
Okay, please.
And you might have to make sure that you've got tissue available for this one. The Christopher Reeve Superman documentary.
Yeah, Superman,
the Christopher Reeve story. Mm-hmm. It's really good. I got to see a sneak peek of it back in October. It was actually game one. It's the night of game one of the World Series. And I got to see it and then catch the game. It's incredible, man.
That's cool.
It's incredible.
Does it show him in high school at all? Does it go all the way back? My mom taught him music in high school. He went to the same school as the Menendez brothers, Princeton Day School.
It actually does go back. And now I don't want to promise that your mom is in it, but there was a lot of film of him
in high school. He was like a superstar theater kid and athlete in high school.
It's kind of amazing, like how much stuff. Because usually when you're putting a documentary together, you have some stuff, but like all the stuff with him and Robin Williams and, you know, them being roommates in college and being like best friends. It is a beautiful. There's a moment in there that broke me, though. There was like after the accident, they brought him in and he was doing a benefit. And the people that were working in the back, like the people in the kitchen, were like, oh, my God, there's Superman. Like, even in that state, people still...
Oh, God.
Like, people still loved him like that.
Always leave him laughing, Lawrence. That's great stuff.
And it's beautiful. So if you haven't seen it, it's called Superman.
All right.
The Christopher Reeve story. I believe it's on Max.
I think you are right on that. See? It's yet another example of Lawrence trying to keep me away from these Bears thoughts. I've got, like, really good... Bears thoughts.
Well, I did find the quarterback that I want in the room.
Okay. So you're trying. I want to talk about the guard depth chart in free agency.
So Case Keenum is a free agent.
Oh, that's a good call.
And his
profile. Do you want to get rid of Tyson Bagent?
No, Tyson Bagent can be, even if you want him to be the backup, I would just like an actual old school NFL quarterback in the room with Caleb. Not someone who's kind of looking at what it is. Their Case is out here doing commercials now.
Not the offensive assistant that Ryan Griffin was.
Yeah,
they just let him go yesterday.
I'd like for that to be like a real guy that has a lot of experience in the NFL to help out. And Case Keenum is available. And it's interesting that he has been with C.J. Stroud in the first 2 years of C.J. Stroud's career. So... ipso facto, it might work with him here.
All right, well, you did it. That was it. I had Bears thoughts, remember?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so wait, let's get back for a second to talk about this CHSN thing.
No, we're
because
good.
Because folks were really, really, I got a couple text messages and an email from Stonecutter.
I have two. Actually, if it's good, I mean, I like John. So
we all love John.
All right,
except for Shane.
I have two other guards who
are better off going with Tyson Bagent there.
No, Adam Schefter. No,
I have two other guards from the free agent class that I want to mention. But first, let's hear what Brad Biggs told Mully and Haw this morning about the guy we mentioned with Kevin Holmes, Trey Smith, who is the number two free agent on the market behind T. Higgins. Maybe he should be number one. He's going to reset the guard market. He is absolutely in his prime and healthy and killing it. And at 26 years old, entering the 2025 season, let's see what Biggsy thinks about the Bears' chances of getting him.
The Bears and a lot of teams would have considerable interest in Trey Smith. Kansas City's got a really good problem to have. They've got a host of young players that need to be paid. And might not be able to get it done with all of them. It's still possible. No one's sure which way this thing's going to go. You know, I talked to one GM, and he's like, yeah, it's possible it could get to the market. He said that the $20 million guard scares some teams. Like, some teams don't want to go that high for an interior offensive lineman. And you can understand why. If Trey Smith makes it to market, you're talking about a guy at the top of his game, entering the prime of his career with a clean injury history. You're going to have no shortage of teams with a lot of cap space interested in talking to him. Like, this, it's really easy to play connect the dots between the Bears and Trey Smith if indeed he gets to free agency. There's going to be other teams that are going to be in the mix there for him. And one thing to keep in mind is the Chiefs weren't particularly driven to keep cornerback Aljarius Sneed at last March, and they executed a tag and trade with him, used the franchise tag on him, and then came up with a trade with the Tennessee Titans that involved a third-round pick in this year's draft, I believe, and I think they swapped seventh-round picks as well. But in that scenario, the Chiefs could have some control over where Trey Smith was to go if indeed he's not in their future.
That's a great little nugget and comp of how the Chiefs might try to take control of having an asset like that.
Yeah, I think that if he becomes available, you make all the attempts to try to get him, but there's also just going to be other bidders. Like, this is one of those things where we all know that he's going to, it's possible that he becomes a free agent. We also know that he's one of the best at the position. The league itself is changing. And there is, luckily, I think, for guys like Trey Smith, a premium being put on guard to guard. Those guys are not just throwaways. You shouldn't treat them as throwaways. And it might be worth a big investment if you're investing in your quarterback. And this isn't necessarily a great draft for centers. It doesn't seem like it's going to be great free agency for centers.
No, it's not. Coleman Shelton is the number three center on the market.
So you've got to augment the – if you have to spend a little bit extra to go get someone who is elite at the position, it might be the only place – on the line where you have to spend elite money this season, partially because you did go out and do this before and it wasn't the right mix.
Right.
But everything about Trey Smith, and if you read Dan Pompey's piece on Trey Smith, everything about him screams that he might be the right guy, which is why I would be surprised if Kansas City, if we didn't get a story in 2 weeks of Patrick Mahomes taking, using them swapping out his money for bonus money and being able to put a team-friendly deal together for Trey Smith.
Let me go two names deeper, and you'll understand why I've been racing to get these names in.
Coleman Shelton.
No, these are guards. These are two more guards. And nobody,
Nate Davis.
Nobody likes Bears free agent guard content.
More than you.
Nobody. Except that's, centers. I really like Bears center content. But here's one.
Center content is actually more appropriate.
The opposing team has Mekhi Becton at guard. Mekhi Becton was a first-round pick, a tackle bust with the Jets, who supposedly ate his way out of, you know, with work habits and eating was kind of an issue. So that can scare you.
And now he's back and he's out there road grading people.
He's 6'7", 363 pounds. He's playing guard in Philly and destroying people and very, very emotional about getting to the Super Bowl after the game last week. And has been through a lot. So it's an interesting case, and I don't exactly know what the personal profile would be on the scouting. So I got to look into that. But at the very least, Bears fans, watch the guards in the Super Bowl to inform you for the offseason. Watch Trey Smith and watch Mekhi Becton on the Eagles. So those are two guys to think about.
Wait, you're gonna make Bears fans watch that? What if Jalen Carter destroys Trey Smith?
Well, then you'll know a little something. Then you can.
That's going to be a good battle.
That will be a good battle. Here's the other name. And this guy is old, but I think it's a very intriguing concept to steal Kevin Zeitler from the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
Kevin Zeitler is 34. He's going to be 35 in March.
So you're saying you're getting the last good year of his football career.
He signed a one-year, $6 million deal last year in Detroit and played his ass off. It was the third choice for Pro Bowl at guard in terms of all the other metrics at Pro Football Focus and otherwise. He absolutely was a very, very good player. And he was injured for the Commanders game, so you'll worry about his health and everything. But imagine bringing over a Detroit offensive lineman to help you install what you want to install. You didn't get the offensive line coach and Hank Fraley, even if you were thinking about giving him the OC job. He didn't get that. So why not go get Kevin Zeitler? If Ben Johnson says, get me that guy, he will help me install everything I want to do. And they've got a rookie in Detroit who they supposedly they might want to play, so they might not be too competitive for it. Kevin, come with me and teach this young offensive line how to do what we do. So I'm a big fan of that idea. And if you don't get priced out of Trey Smith, I like the idea of going out and getting Drew Zeitler.
Art, do you like the idea of the Bears not getting priced out?
Sorry, Kevin Zeitler, not Drew Zeitler. I know his name. You should know his name.
His name is Robert Paulson.
It's Kevin Zeitler. His name is Charlie Montoya. But yes.
It still strikes me as really weird, the Charlie Montoya thing.
It was weird. Luis is weird. He should know his name.
What are we doing here? should know his name.
I agree.
Not just that part.
Chuck, I agree.
But the part where they're like, yeah, so we're just going to fire him too. So, you know, even though ideally he was exactly the person that you would want managing the team in the interim, and it was never a thing. This is never a thing. Like, we're going to go over him.
Yeah.
We're going to go all the way down. Go all the way down.
Well, maybe Charlie was, you know, either was at the beginning or turned into more the manager's guy than he was anybody else's guy.
Maybe. God.
Charlie.
I know that there were a lot of... let me ask you guys this question.
Okay.
And we've got Dr. White Sox and Captain White Sox on the other side of the glass.
Yeah, I think we decided that...
Captain Stubby, that is.
Shane, are you Captain White Sox?
No, I think Tanny's Captain White Sox.
Well, I guess that's...
Shane is Dr. White Sox.
Because Tanny has only one doctorate, and that, of course, is in the NBA. So he can't have two.
Yeah, I would rather neither captain nor doctorate this White Sox organization.
Well, I know that all of the beat reporters and the folks over at Sox Machine, like they talked about like the end of it. Would any of you be interested in like a... big, long, like athletic piece?
No.
About the end of last year's season with the White Sox?
No.
See, I would.
No, I don't want to know what happened.
No, I feel bad for these kids. Yep. Like, if anything, like we heard some of that and after the season, how it affected a lot of them. And there was actually some really fun stuff to come out of that, like their love for Grady Sizemore. Yeah. But I care more about digging deep to what happened after 2021.
Oh,
okay. What led to that falling apart? I know there have been some things written about it, but let's dig a little deeper. I guess maybe you have to wait till some of these players retire before they'll truly open up. But.
I thought about that. Lance Lynn is might be a closer. People are like,
I saw that.
Do you see that? Like some teams are asking Lance Lynn if he would consider being a closer for a final chapter of his career yet. And I was like, man, that's a dude who needs to spill some tea about what happened over there.
He's going too soon. I keep in touch with Lance. It's going to happen. I just think it's going to be with AJ Brzezinski.
Yeah. Well,
that's fine.
It's probably true.
I mean, the Foul Territory podcast is great.
Yeah. But I mean,
love
I don't know.
AJ.
But if AJ does that, then
I mean, I love AJ. I'm not sure about speech.
Oh, no, I do. I had a great time with him at the Pitchnet Club thing. I absolutely had a great time. The thing is, AJ would then have to dance the dance that he always dances about. Well, you know, I like Jerry. I really, but you got to be honest about, you know, like he'd have to do that
but
dance
he's still
big time.
Really honest about how he feels about this.
He is.
I just don't want there to be another long form piece out there that discourages free agents from coming here, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to happen regardless, but another piece just to say, stay away from here?
What just flashed in my mind was who's the pitcher who went to Milwaukee and ended up having a great year?
Matt LaPorta.
No. Just and he made a playoff start for the Brewers as well. And he was in, there was a quote from him midseason. Was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, they don't know how to do anything. They absolutely didn't help me. If you want to go backwards, that's the organization to go to.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Well, there was something White Sox-y that was pretty dope. And Dr. White Sox and Captain White Sox, I think, agreed with me on this. It's something they should have done a long time ago. I'm glad that it's apparently available now, and I hope that it brings about change. The White Sox still get merchandise stuff right, and they get, for the most part, the promos right. There is one promotional Sox item that this show needs to talk about and haven't. We'll discuss it with you on the other side of a break. You're listening to The Score.
Here are your all-star second basemen from the Chicago White Sox, Ray Durham.
And ball hit fair. Here comes Herman Payne. He's going to score. And the Sox win a 6-5.
Yes!
Ray Durham gets that from the off-speed pitch, hooks it right by Willie Green. The ninth inning heroics by Sammy Sosa with that dramatic two-out, two-run homer goes by the boards as the Sox pick up their fifth straight victory.
That era of White Sox was heavy on my mind today. By the way, there is going to be a Ray Durham bobblehead night this year. Over at 35th and Shields. That's on June 8th.
Dude, the promos, they knocked them out of the park, it seems like. The list of promos, the dolls, the Burley statue.
July 11th is the Burley statue unveiling.
Uh-huh. But and they're usually pretty good at this, but the fact it came out just a few days before Sox Fest, the official list, and there's a bunch of awesome stuff in there.
There is. For example, there's the jersey hoodie. People really like that part. The 1959 Comiskey Park radio giveaway on June 28th. The Hawaiian shirt game, the Champs 2005 Hawaiian shirt, that's going to be on July 11th, the Burley night, by the way.
How about the Babe Ruth and Al Simmons figurine in 1933? I need one for my dad. I don't know how long Herb will be around to enjoy it, but I think a long time, I hope. But that 1933 Babe Ruth figurine, let's go.
Here's another one for you. Saturday, August 9th, Bill Veeck bobblehead.
You sure you're pronouncing that right?
See,
I just want to make sure.
Can't we all just get along?
He'll know it by then.
Wow.
Hey, man.
All you got to have a nice little segment about the White Sox.
You brought it up. All you got to do is a little research. Is Oscar Robinson getting honored?
Come on, dude. We ain't taking that.
Jesus.
We ain't taking that from Matt Spiegel.
Is there any sort of... Cincinnati basketball fan.
Hey, Lawrence Holmes, stand up, please.
I usually do the show standing.
Stand up.
He is standing right now.
Well, I saw this.
La Pantera.
I saw Sean Janko tweet this out, longtime listener of this show, friend of the program.
Okay.
And he tweeted out that the White Sox have brought back the script C. You'll remember that from the early 90s. And I remember Rick Hahn had a pullover 3 years ago, and he was wearing the script C, and I was like, yo, man, this needs to come back.
It's a good-looking C.
It is.
It's a really good-looking
C. But now the difference is that they've put it in the current color scheme. Because remember, that was navy with white and red. They now have available the script C caps in black and white.
Where's that available?
And gray.
On MLB.com, the MLB shop?
Yeah.
The official stuff?
Yeah.
So what day are they wearing that, or what time
they're
are
not,
they?
They're not. They're not wearing it.
So when is that? Is that a giveaway?
No, that's not a giveaway. You got to pay $50 for that cap.
It's a good looking hat, though. You're thinking about it.
It really is a good looking cap. Oh, I'm not thinking about it. I don't think I'll be wearing any White Sox stuff anytime soon.
Really?
But If I were going to buy something, it would be that. It would be the because they have four different versions of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's the black on black, black on black on black. Mm-hmm. Then there's the full The full script C in white on the black caps.
That's the one I have. Grandstand did a special release of that years ago, and I was able to pick. It's one of my favorite hats. It's one of those hats that you don't want to wear too much because I don't know if I could get it anymore.
Right.
Now apparently you can, so now I can go back to wearing that.
Maybe. The one I would get would be the gray bill, white panel, gray script C with a black backing.
Gray Bill hangs out with
He's getting up there.
Yes.
We're thinking about him.
He hangs out with full on
stress.
Skip. He hangs out with full on Skip.
And that's why he's so stressed. Skip is just on all the time, just stressing out Gray Bill.
He didn't used to be gray. It's presidential, positively. What's happening? I'm sorry, Lawrence.
Oh, no.
There is another promo night that we need to discuss.
Dude, the Dick Allen bobblehead is going to be awesome. They're recreating the old Sports Illustrated cover where he's juggling the baseballs in the dugout. It's an all-timer. What a great idea for a bobblehead. Looks great to me.
Except it doesn't have the cigarette. And it should have the cigarette.
That doesn't really bother me.
It bothers me.
Why does it bother you?
Because it should be a real representation of the cover if you're going to do it.
Lawrence,
you could have just done a regular Dick Allen bobblehead.
Oh, no, it's cool like
in a
this.
White Sox uniform.
But the world looks differently on cigarette smoking now than they did.
I understand
Dave
that.
Parker's,
yeah, they're soft.
Dave Parker's making the Hall of Fame. Would you like
Would you like to take a guess on who is sponsoring Dick Allen Bobblehead Night?
Marlboro.
No, Benny's Beverage Depot. So it's only for fans who are 21 or older anyway.
Oh, that's interesting.
So,
wait, really? No, but you can be younger than that. It's got
No, you can be younger than that. Yeah. There are plenty of people who are younger than 21, yeah, but when they do alcohol-specific giveaways, yeah, you got to be 21 to get it.
The data shows it. You can actually be younger than
yeah,
that.
You can't be younger than 21.
First 15,000 fans ages 21 and above who enter the ballpark get the Dick Allen bobblehead presented by Benny's Beverage Depot without the cigarette.
Oh, wow, wow. See, by the way, it's hard to believe, but there was a time when Gray Bill was under 21.
See?
I was so excited to say
he
it.
He was Brown Bill at that point.
Well,
no, right, come
well,
on. No, no, Lawrence, don't. Yeah,
it's fine.
Don't,
Lawrence,
Lawrence.
It's okay.
Don't.
You only got one more.
Don't, Lawrence.
Hour to go.
Don't.
One more week.
All right, so we will get the Dick Allen bobblehead.
CC Jeff Agrest. Lawrence Holmes, quote, one more week.
One more week. I'm only going on vacation. I know he cares about my whereabouts.
We'll get the Dick Allen bobblehead, and then I'll buy a pack of cigs. We'll rip some darts, just the four of us, out on the plaza, just bonding moment. And rips. Then we'll put one in his mouth, in the bobblehead.
It's been a while since I ripped some darts.
We'll rip some darts, dude. Yeah, drunk man. Cigs don't count.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I wish Jerry Taft is no longer with us, right?
Correct. A couple Jerry years Taft? Ago. Yeah, a couple years ago.
What a good man he was. I used to see him ripping darts outside on State Street, outside that other studio. You know, hanging around with Jerry Taft.
He's been gone 5 years.
That's crazy.
Five now?
That's crazy.
Wow. It's anything that happened within that window
it's
of
just,
COVID.
Just good luck, everybody.
It's like a time warp. Like, it's really crazy.
Man, meteorologists really can't predict anything, can they?
All right, well. So, yeah.
Just another hour to go until Daniel Craig tells us about
the
weekend.
One more, hour. I'm so sorry.
If we don't have a
six
guest,
more shows.
I'm so sorry.
Hey. No guest, and we're not playing audio. You're really rolling the dice here.
Hey,
this is the way Lawrence wants it. It's just what
yeah,
it is.
Shout out to the member of the mob. Shout out to the member of the mob who reminded me. Tobias Myers is the Brewers pitcher who pitched a playoff game, was great for them last year, who had been with the White Sox in 2022, seven starts and ERA over 15. And when asked about the White Sox last year, Tobias Myers said this, quote, "They just can't help anyone, in my opinion. Maybe they've changed a little bit since then, but I always tell people now that if you don't have anything figured out, don't go to the White Sox."
Did anyone ever tell Tobias Myers to lead from the front, huh? Each one teach one. Come on, what are we doing?
Are you sure that wasn't Keenan Middleton's mom who said that on Twitter?
Hey, Coop tried to teach him the cutter. It didn't work. Didn't go. But how about those promos?
Yeah.
670 the score.
Yep.
See if Lawrence is back for the next hour.
Probably not.
Dan Weederer will lead it off.
Oh.
Did he say Weeky Men segment?
Oh, Weeds is going to be on?
Weedsy, you're going to stick around for Weedsy.
Finally, an adult. Back after this on The Score.